As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connection. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call into the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
In America, you can put your faith with your will to work and create magic. The Wealth Dad system is a great opportunity to use your faith and your will to dream to build a new source of cash flow. Are you ready to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow? If you are, go to WealthDadSystems.com. For more information, call 407-459-4827. This system will change your life. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I come today really hoping that we can have a discussion about life and the value and the importance of life. We somehow or another have lost our sense of respect and appreciation for life. And some of the people that we depend on and need the most seem to have lost their way. And the people who supervise them seem to have lost their perspective as well. There is no life that is not worthy of being saved or protected. I don't care if it's a transient. I don't care if it's a drug person, a person who just is constantly on drugs. I don't care how low a person is in their existence. We should value that life and respect that life enough to do what's right. On this show, we talk a lot about the issues that impact African Americans, but we really talk about all issues, and life is an issue that precedes any other issue. And so when we are talking about how we want to be policed, that goes along with how policemen treat others as well, not just African Americans, but all people. And I witnessed a video, and if I'm not mistaken, the video first got to me by Cassie. And this incident took place in California. And, you know, police officers have a tough job, but they cannot be or should not be the judge, jury, and executioner. And once they start shooting, does not mean that they should keep on shooting until someone is dead. But in this video that I really want to get a lot of answers from a lot of people regarding, I just felt like it was an execution. Here this police officer gets in a tussle with a homeless person for probably no major re- reason. We haven't been told what the reason is for, or I haven't learned what the reason was for. But at some point, he breaks away from this person and creates space between him and the person, and he takes out his weapon. Now, normally, if you create space between you and another person, and you have a gun, that person is probably smart enough to know that he can be shot or killed. But it seemed to me in the video that this man did not even give this man an opportunity to cease the attack. He just opened fire multiple times. And his intent after he started shooting this man was to kill him. And I can't understand how a procedure like that can happen. This man was unarmed. He was defenseless. He had a fight with this officer, but that doesn't give you the right to kill him, to execute him. And I just can't buy into this, that when you shoot somebody one time, I think that is more than enough to make them stop. But when you proceed to shoot them six or seven additional times, that tells me that you're trying to execute them. And I don't think our police force needs to be an execution force. That once we make a police officer mad, he then has every right to just gun us down, no matter what our color is. So when I try to encourage a movement to change the way African Americans are treated by police officers, I ultimately want police officers to treat all citizens as though their lives have value. That it hurts me to see a person, I don't care if he has a mother, a father, or sisters or brothers, if he's all alone in the world, he should not be at the mercy of a police officer who has the will or the ability to kill him. And so I truly hope that everyone, you know, you can't really know. You can hear us describe what happened, and I'm sure a number of us saw the video and can describe what happened, but you cannot know the horror that we're talking about without seeing that video. Cheryl, are you with us this evening?
Good evening, everyone. I'm here. How's everybody doing? You know, I had the opportunity to watch the video. Now, just from what I watched, nothing, you know, no information that happened before leading up to the shooting, what I saw was what happened to shooting in the leg to get them down? I mean, I saw with one hand, he kind of swung his hair back, like to get the hair out of his face. And then turning around. But what he did was he shot six times. And then he told him to get down. And he shot another time. And then I heard, after the first round of shots, I heard him, the gentleman saying, no, I can't remember exactly what the words were, but saying, when they say how police officers feel. But if you are not prepared for those types of situations, my question is, should you really be on the police force? Do you really not think that there's going to be situations like this? You know, and I kept hearing I guess the man interviewing saying, you know, his one goal is to get back to his family tonight. And I understand that as well. But you also have to have fast thinking, logical thinking, police officers. I mean, this seemed as though he was trigger happy. And you mean to tell me, not after one, not after two, do you think that you're going to get this man down? But you did six times and then say, get down to the ground, and then shot him again. I mean, to me, you was doing nothing but aiming to kill, not to get him down to the ground at all. And I, you know, and it made me think, what are we really up against? And it doesn't take away from those that are trained properly, those that have been on the force, those that, you know, really try to injure before they kill. But we have too many that are going straight to kill. Because I didn't notice that the gun was moved all around for various spots in his body. He just was pow, 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 pow. You know, and it just makes, you know, me wonder, what kind of police officers are we really putting out there? What kind of training, and how often are they evaluated? So that was just something that was something horrific. I just couldn't see it. I mean, I couldn't see it, you know, even being scared, the police officer. And I guess I couldn't see the amount of force that went with it.
And the problem I have, Cheryl, makes it even worse, was his supervisor or the chief of police is so committed to supporting him, saying, once my officer is involved in combat, he has the right to use deadly force. He had separated himself from the man. The man could no longer get to him because he had his gun out. And so at that point, he could have decelerated the situation or de-escalated the situation so that he could have ordered the man to get on the ground without shooting him. Or again, if he had to shoot him once, see if he's willing to comply after you shoot him once. But shooting him six times, you tried to kill him. And so there's nothing you had decided that you, at that point, you were going to be the judge, jury, and executioner. And I'm sure whatever he did shouldn't have gotten that man the death penalty. Kathy, I'm coming to you next. Kathy, did you originally send this video to me?
Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, James, I did, but I didn't. The part I didn't include the whole thing. There is another part that's missing on the actual video, which shows not how it started, but a piece of how it began, because they were fighting before he had tased the guy originally, and I don't know if they were had an argument or what, but the police officer was telling him to stand back, and he kept approaching the police officer. Then he started punching the police officer. That's when they got into their first altercation. And then when they were down on the ground, he tried to grab the police officer's gun, but he grabbed one of the casings. And then that's when the portion that you saw, I don't know if you saw anything before that, and then that's when the police officer was able to get on top of him and get away from him, and then he began the shooting. But from looks at it, when you look at it again and again, you can tell the police officer was so scared that as he had his hand on the trigger, he could not release it. So it was in his the way it looks, and that's not funny. I just laugh because I keep looking at it, how he was so afraid. He said, it's either me or him, and that's why he did what he did, I believe, because you guys have to see the other portion. And I believe his friend, because they say it was his friend turned in the second portion of the video, which shows when they first started arguing, and the guy started actually trying to jump on the officer. But as he went, the officer, I guess, put his taser in his side, and that's when they began the first fight.
Well, Cassie, I have to tell you, and I have to go back to some of my experiences. I spent 7 years on the police review board here in Orlando, and police officers are not given the opportunity to continue whatever violence has taken place once they've gained some control. And so, in essence, what that means is, if I punch you in the face and you gain control over me, that doesn't give you the right to keep punching me after you've gained control. You can't use a past situation to justify a present situation. He did look like he was in a altercation, and the man did take away something from his belt. But once he separated himself from that man, and maybe you're right, maybe he was so scared that he couldn't stop shooting. But to me, that's no excuse, and you shouldn't be on the force, because you can't continue shooting somebody as though that person is still a threat when you've shot him 3 times. Can you stop then? Why does it? It just seems like he was bent on killing that man.
Yeah, you're right, James. But I mean, it was wrong. But being in that moment, him being attacked the way that he was attacked, we don't know if his adrenaline was still up on 999,000 or if it came down. Because again, go back and look at the second part of the video where it shows how it originally started. So it seems as though he was fighting for his life, but then again, you know, like you said, well, he did have time to push back and think about it, maybe shoot him one time, but the way it looked, from the way he was shaking, and at the end, he could not remove his hand from that gun. So I don't know.
All right. Okay, let's go to another caller. Welcome back, Joyce. Not Joyce. Audrey Jones. I'm going to call you Audrey Jones so not to get you confused with Audre. Okay, how are you doing this evening?
I'm feeling much better. Thank you so much. I'd like to shed a little bit of light on the situation. I think you guys are talking about the shooting that happened in Huntington Beach. Huntington
yes.
Beach is in Orange County. Orange County is probably still a little bit over 1% African American. Okay. You have people in L.A. that will not even come to Orange County. Huntington Beach is one of the most racist cities in Orange County. I have a friend who knows the chief of police there who's very racist. So you got to take in consideration the form. And, yeah, these white cops, they come out, they're trigger happy, and they're just afraid of black people. They don't have any business. A lot of them don't have any business being on the police force. You know, because they are trigger happy, and they are there for evil. Some of them are there for evil reasons, not to help or promote safety. They're there to with a power struggle. You know, yeah, I'm in power. I can do this to you, and you can't touch me. And that's some of their attitude. So please keep in mind where it happened. Happens here. Stuff like that happens here. quite often, not only with African Americans, especially with Hispanics. You know, they're so bad right now, they'll walk up to them now and say, where are your papers? And tell a lie, we ran your license plate, but you got the wrong license plate on your car. Just to stop people. So it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. And yesterday didn't help anything. Well, it helped a lot, but it caused a lot of controversy with the NFL.
Well, it is definitely was horrific. I could not imagine seeing that in real life. And there were several people who just gasped at what they saw because, as Cheryl said, even after the man went down, he told him to get down and he shot him again. And so I just can't get away from the fact that I thought it was an execution. I mean, I can't.
You know,
If that's not an execution, I don't know what one is.
Yeah, it was bad. The guy did pull a clip from the police officer's belt. Well, the police officer knew it was only a clip. It wasn't a gun, so he didn't have to shoot him six times. He knew the guy didn't have a gun. He had a clip.
And they were both standing up, and there was no way he could miss him, and he just...
Yeah.
He unloaded on him. I mean, I know the gun has 15 shots in it, but when you shoot somebody six or seven times, you are trying to kill them. I mean, you
yeah.
can't explain that any other way.
Yeah. It's sad.
All right. Joyce, we're coming to you. Did you get a chance to see the video, Joyce?
Yes, I did. What I think is happening is there's a just like say a brotherhood with the football players, a brotherhood when you go to the military, there's a brotherhood of vigilante cops that has breeded themselves so badly in every state, and this is what is happening, and this is what is going on, and it's ridiculous. I looked at that video. He shot him, and he flickered like a chicken. That's in down south when you shoot a chicken or kill a chicken, and the person shake like that after the fact. That's what it is. It was an execution. There's no way about it. It's no way how you look at that. You are a professional. You're a professional officer of the law. You're supposed to have certain trainings that you do. And your training should not be shoot to kill the way that you did. That was not a killing. That was not a shooting. It was an execution. And believe me, it's a brotherhood because this is happening too much of this brotherhood cop killing that is happening throughout the United States. And we need to pay attention to what Dee had indicated, that we need to go on the internet and see all these backroom style type of organization that is going on so we can have a better idea of what is going on so we can get more equipped as to how to walk away and make it home safely. He's talking about the officer needed to make it home safely, but the people that he's addressing definitely needs to make it home safe. So I think that's what happened. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
Baby, Bobby Womack on the radio. Sing to me.
If you think you're doing that.
Wait a minute, this is too deep.
Too deep.
I gotta change the station, so I turn the dial, trying to catch a break. And then I hear baby speak. I only think of you. And it's breaking my heart. I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm falling apart. I'm feeling all out of my element. Going insane, trying, trying to figure out where the hell I went wrong. The pain reflected in the song. It even happened when I'm feeling inside. I need you back in my life, baby. When you left, I lost a part of me. And it's still so hard to believe. Come back, baby, because
we belong together.
Who's am I gonna leave? No one time to around. Who's gonna talk to me on the phone till the sun goes out? Who's gonna take your place? There ain't nobody better.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, guys, when I share with you that I had this experience for 7 years on being on the police review board and learning that police officers are trained to shoot at mass. And so when we say shoot at mass, they're trained to shoot at the largest portion of a person's body. But at the same time that they're trained to do that, there should be some kind of evaluation that should be made after each shot. And what I mean by that, it seems to me that you don't have to shoot someone 6 times before you evaluate whether or not you've shot them enough. Maybe 1 or 2 shots, giving that person some type of possible survival rate. because it is not your job. I wouldn't think it was your job to be going out there executing people in order to keep yourself safe. I don't think that man or that police officer had to shoot that man that many times in order to remain safe. And I know about adrenaline, but they are trained. At what point is their training supposed to help them evaluate situations and not just go off? And so, to me, there's something wrong, Cheryl, with his interpretation of the situation and his need to shoot this man 7 times.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine it as well. And I mean, if he thought, you know, for any reason he couldn't deal with it, why not call for backup? I mean, we're losing too many lives today. Too many lives. And again, I say, you know, their defense is that I was in fear for my life. And it's either my life or your life. But trained, I mean, I know they're not trained to kill and then find out, or act, or like they say, kill first and then ask questions later. I mean, you, like I said, this was all in the report that I saw, and I just thought that there was zero survival rate. None. I mean, 6 times just kept going on. And at what point do your logic, as far as being an officer, I mean, you have to keep more composure and restrain yourself a whole lot more than just the average person that you, you know, that you're stopping for him. Because if that's the case, then you know better than the other person. The only difference is you got a gun and they don't, in most cases. So you have the upper hand just about every single time. And what's happening is that as we see incidents like this, then there's others that get so furious and they take it out on cops. And if they would train and evaluate these cops, because, I mean, this would be somebody probably would never, even if he got off, I couldn't see him being put back on the street. Because, first of all, he's not going to be thinking the same way. He's got a whole lot more to deal with than he did when he woke up this morning, him ever being put back on the street again. So I can't figure it out. I can't.
And the sad thing, there are police officers out there who never use their weapons, who never somehow in way they're trained and get through their day without having to be in those kind of situations. And it just amazes me, if you're not capable of going hand-to-hand without finding out that somebody's going to get the best of you, then, as Cheryl said, maybe you need to call backup before you get in these confrontations, and then you find yourself needing to kill people. And, Kathy, I understand what you're saying, but my goodness, at what point is it a liability to have these kind of people out on the force who can't think their way out of situations? They're just going to react.
I agree with you guys, James. And I just wanted to tell you that there was another piece. When I first saw the video, my heart fell to my feet because I thought I was at a movie the way that everything went. And then as time went on, I began to think about it. When I did see the second part, I said, this is just an opinion, he still had time to think about it because the guy was on the ground. But it's like he said, he took a breath and he said, "Oh, come on, kill your MF." You know, that's how it seemed to me. But I mean, I don't know because I'm not that person, and I have a lot of family members that are law enforcement that have never shot anyone. Some have retired, some are still on the force. It just depends on the person. And like I believe it was Joyce said, that there's an alliance out there that where they have is that I just believe that they say they're going to kill some people. And I mean, maybe I'm going too far by saying that, but that's what it looked like on that day, that, you know, you disrespect the way it seemed to me. It's like he said, regardless with his uniform on or not, but you disrespected me, MF. That's how it seemed. You disrespected me, MF. So now I'm going to kill your A. That's how it seemed. Because when the guy was on the ground, the cop was able to regain himself, step back, and then he just began to fire. And then it looks like that he could not release his hands off of that gun. So I don't know how this is going to pan out, but I can't say I feel sorry for him, but, you know, I'm just praying that, you know, because the young man was wrong for continuing to go and pursue him after he had been telling him to stop, but he was just as wrong and even more wrong for shooting that guy that many times. And as somebody else said, he could have shot him in the leg or something, but to the point to where the guy is no longer here, I mean, you know, only God knows.
Audrey, it is just amazing to me that there is no sensibility or no humanity. I mean, to shoot somebody that many times when they have no way of protecting themselves just tells me you're heartless. I didn't see any heart in that policeman's decision. To gun that man down. Audrey Jones, are you there?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I'm going to take this a step further. I'm going to go all the way back to election last year. Now, racism has always existed, and we know that. And I tell people all the time, I think the president has given a lot of people, especially Caucasians, a platform where they think they can do anything and get away with it because he opens up his mouth and says anything and get away with it. And so I think now, since they think they got that backing, it may make it easier for police to think they can get away with certain things. Like, for an example, he says to the cops at one of these rallies, if you're putting them in a police car, you don't have to put your hands over their head. And when they get in the paddy wagon, you don't have to be gentle. So he advocates this kind of violence. And if you got a policeman that has any kind of mentality that way, he may take it to the max. And that's what it looks like what this kid did. Now, what really bothers me with this whole thing is that a large majority of these people are young adults. It's not like these old 60- and 70-year-old people that was coming up when, racism was really prevalent. It's these 20-something, 30-something-year-old cops with that hatred in their hearts that make them go out and do something so vindictive. But the way I see it, they think they got a platform right now. They got somebody in their corner, and I think that's a part of the reason. That's a part of the problem.
And that's why I'm saying to you that the supervisor or the chief of police has to be someone who's willing to do the right thing and remove somebody from the department when they are a danger to the citizenry. The most important thing is that the citizens be protected. And if you got someone who is too cavalier or who cannot control his decision-making, then you need him to be taken off the force. Because, again, once he had separated himself, he should have had an opportunity to breathe and to regroup and make a determination of what to do. He could have fired two shots, watched, and waited to see if after the two shots the man was incapacitated. But he never gave the man a chance. Once he decided to start shooting, he was bent on eliminating this man. And that is the problem, is that we need people who have some thought and foresight into the fact that every life has value. And if you're not going to see this man's life as value, you might not see anybody's life as valuable.
That's true. Every police officer don't go to work every day to honor that creed. There are some that go there to honor that creed and say, I'm going to do what my oath said. And there are the other ones that may have the mentality, I'm going to go today and I'm going to kill a gangbanger. And we're going to get another notch on our gun, on our arm, because we got one more down. There are those out there. And as a matter of fact, there's a police department up in L.A. Every time they kill a gangbanger, they go get a little tattoo notch on themselves. And if I can find it on the internet, I'll make sure I get it out to you guys. But that's a true story.
Wow, and I believe you full-heartedly. Cheryl, let me ask you, though, even across the country, especially when we had a police officer tell a white motorist she don't need to be afraid because we only shoot black people. I mean, obviously, when he was felt so free to say that, that there are people who are ready and prepared to commit murder every day, every time they go to work.
Again, I mean, I'm still trying to figure it out, because I'd like to know how often are they trained. You know, and every time something happens like this, this person that I know personally, for some reason, failed one part of the police exam, or he didn't follow through with it. I'm not sure what it was. But he said, well, I guess everybody ought to be glad I'm not a cop, because I would definitely be going gun happy out there. Caught my breath, because I'm like, you know, if he thinks like this, and I never knew that this was his thinking. So if he could think like this, and he seemed to be very normal, I mean, had a real good, decent job, worked at the post office for many years. I mean, beautiful, wonderful family. But in the back of his mind, this is what he's thinking. If I become a police officer, I can get back at people. And when he said that, he didn't mean the individual person by person. He can get back at whatever the race is, or whoever, or take it out on someone else. I mean, I don't know what it will take. And you're so right. It's not just in shootings. It's everything. And this has nothing to do with the subject, but I was looking up on the internet hairdos for women. And I went to images. Well, they didn't have one black person image there. They were all white. And it's like, is that what we come to first? Did I have to specify? I didn't specify, you know, black, white, nothing, or what kind of hair or anything. I just put for women. So is that our first thought all the time? And how many people are thinking like this? Or how much, you know, we got to deal with? So I think when we get into a position of this, as far as being a police officer, there's constant training. It's not trained one time and you finish with it, because life happens for these police officers. You don't know what they're up against every day in their own personal life. So I think there should be a routine evaluation. And I understand you can't get it all, but they should be digging into a lot of things just like your regular job. They should dig into the Facebook. They should all the social media sites, all of these different things, you know, because they have a gun in their hand. And they have, they can take a life at the drop of a hat. I mean, I can't fathom it. I just can't figure it out. And I mean, this is just.
And Kathy, I have to tell you, and I didn't realize that you know a lot of police officers, but it is just my belief when it comes to being afraid. And, you know, it seems like for whatever reasons, white officers are the ones that use that excuse the most to use their weapons. You know, I still have yet to see a situation where a black officer kills an unarmed white citizen. I just haven't seen it. I mean, all the horrific things we've seen, the man who gunned down the white female in her sleep clothing, he was a man of color, but I don't think he was an African-American. So I'm still saying I have yet to see an African-American who has gunned down an unarmed white person and made the news. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I have not saw one either, like you said, but except for that particular person. But, I mean, as everyone has been talking, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm like, Lauren, what is going on? I mean, so we have to call a spade a spade. We know that it's the devil. We know that it's the enemy running rapid, and he has, it's like he's free. He's out of the cage. He's able to do whatever he wants to do. But then the Bible also talks about us as believers and how we must continue to pray and we must continue to call out the Lord so that he can help with these type of situations, because, I mean, we can talk about it, but who's in control of it? Who's going to stop it? Who's going to actually make these things happen? Like one of the callers just said, they need to have an evaluation all the time. Now, I worked in the jails before, and it was always that they never had enough money to get, you know, little bitty things that they needed on inside of the jail to secure the people when they were arrested, you know, even for the people that were working there, was always that it wasn't enough money. And then we're talking about they need to be evaluated. They don't even want to hire counselors for the kids in school. So it's like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this happen? Then with the president and his remarks, it's constantly dividing, you know, the people, the even though, you know, I may hang out with some Caucasians or Hispanic, but when it boils down, when they get in their circle, you know, they're going to talk with their circle of people because that's what we do. But we need to begin to just pray and call out the name of the Lord so that he can make some changes. You know, it seems as though with all these things going on, the hurricanes and the floods and the tornadoes and the earthquakes, people should be coming more and more together, but it's like they are more and more divided. It's sad, but we just have to continue to pray.
But you got that. You got our leader with that mentality, and I understand you guys when you're saying that, you know, we need to go and we need to educate the cops, we need to retrain them. I personally don't believe that there is any training class that can retrain a cop with a bad intention or with the wrong intention that says, I'm going to go up in there and I'm going to kill somebody today. That person needs Jesus. Retraining is not going to help him because he's already got his mindset.
Audrey, and you're so right when you went back and put it in the president's hand. This man is not even strategic enough when he's doing dirty work to even do it in a way that he could get away with it. I mean, this last incident where he used, you know, called whoever kneels down, they need to fire that son of a bee. I mean, how in the world could you think that was going to go over smoothly with these young African Americans? And how does a president even talk like that? I mean, I'm 57 years old, and I've only known a handful of presidents, but I have never known a president use that kind of language in my life.
Mm-mm, and you won't. You know, he's an idiot. He's on the campaign trail, and he goes to Chicago. You ain't got nothing. You ain't going to lose nothing. You shoot each other on the street. You can vote for me. Okay, so he attacked that side of the African-American population. Okay, on Friday, I think it was, when he was in Alabama, he attacked $1 billion African-American people. Football players with 4.0, 4.5 GPAs, very well educated. He's not going to give a brother a break, whether he's a dummy or whether he's a genius. That's just his mentality.
And it puts us at risk. Lorenzo, I'm glad that you're here. Just tell me what your thought process is, because I know that I feel at risk as a young black man, and I don't want no dealings or interaction with police whatsoever, because I don't want to find myself doing the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah, I think he really done went overboard this time. I think he done lost his rockers, and really he's going to cause like a race war, and that's why they always saying, I think every household should have a gun, because any day this thing going to break off, and it's going to break off in the worst way that we can even imagine on. And I think if they don't hurry up and impeach him, that's what he's looking for. You know, and he's looking for that across the board in North Korea with the Russians, with the Koreans, with Americans. He's looking to divide the country all the way across. And I just say we all just got to stay prayed up and prepared.
Yeah, it is just unbelievable that he is fighting so many different people on so many different fronts. And when we need an intelligent man to interact and negotiate with North Korea, we have a lunatic. I mean, this man does nothing but infuriate people. I mean, just like he did with the NFL. Here he was last week. He only had a few people kneeling, and now he was going to do something that he made everybody respond to him. And it's just that he's not intelligent enough. Welcome back, Audrey. Are you there?
Yes, Marvelous Monday to everyone. Thank you.
Were you able to see the video?
I was not, and I just heard the responses at the beginning of the show, and it just sounds like it's very, very, very ugly. But I wanted to follow up on something that Sister Cheryl said, and a lot of times we always say that additional training is needed. And I'm saying this because I'm in the training field, and I always have to respond to incidents after a major event. Training, by definition, is providing knowledge or improving a skill that you're not aware of how to properly execute it. So once you receive information, you are therefore trained. Now, as adults, you have the option of what to do with that training. And don't get me wrong, I do know people need to go back to refreshers or whatever. But I would venture to say that I would be interested to find out how long the person had been in on the force. If indeed, I'm sure he may have encountered something similar. And after listening to Sister Kathy, she was saying that it may have been just in the heat of the moment, again, just responding for his life and just his adrenaline was flowing so much and all. But I would venture that it's not necessarily training. I think it's just a person making a choice. And what we do have to look at is what type of training or what circumstances are reviewed. And someone mentioned if indeed the supervisors do some observations on their environment. their team members to see how they respond to different scenarios. But long story short, I did not see the video, but I'm not willing to associate it with the need of additional training. I think it may be another reason why the behavior or the response was as it was.
Well, Andre, let me ask you a question. Because of the position you hold, you know, in the position you hold, the people who are going up and putting their lives in danger, they're putting their lives in danger. So the more training that they can do to keep themselves safe is in their best interest. But when you're in an environment where your training or your whatever it is that you do endangers the lives of others, we have to evaluate whether or not, you know, that's not the same kind of job. We know that, you know, the job of a lineman, we want that person trained well to keep himself safe, and we don't want him to be uneducated about the dangers of the job. But we cannot sacrifice citizens two dangerous police officers who are just unwilling or unable to do their job well enough to keep themselves safe or keep the citizens safe. And so
I think you said a key word, James. I agree with you on the key word that you said. They have the will. Now, will is not training. That person have the will, meaning that they will determine what actions they would take and the behaviors they would demonstrate. So, you know, it's a difference between skill, which is training, versus will, a choice that's being made.
And you're right, and that's why I'm saying the police chief or whatever governing body there is needs to release people from their job when it's deemed that they may not be capable of doing their job in a way that keeps citizens from being in harm's way. And so instead of depending on training, we may have to depend on eliminating those kind of individuals from the force by any means necessary, because all they're doing is having taxpayers being sued because of their behaviors.
Yeah, I mean, and training is a layer, is a variety of layers of any component. Like I said, someone mentioned earlier, you know, what types of observations are required by their leadership team to see how they actually respond in real-life situations. And you, of course, know anytime you have your supervisor with you, you're going to behave in a certain way. But a good supervisor will be able to distinguish between what that person actually does or if they're actually putting on, so that we can, like you said, help to make sure that we reinforce what our expectations are. Because the expectation and part of the oath that any law enforcement officer take, in most cases, the words serve and protect are included as part of that oath.
And Lorenzo, you have been aware of situations where you thought police officers went beyond their call of duty and violated their sworn oath and endangered people.
You know, we was having a discussion today in class, and you know, like I'm with the woman was saying about the training. How do you, if you hire a person, how do you determine if you hired a KKK Nazi who raised up KKK or Nazi, and because they got an A average and they got a degree in criminal justice, now we gave them a gun and a police badge, now we dealing with all this. How do you determine that? How do you stop that? How do we know who Donald Trump is? Was a kid? How was he raised up? Was he raised up a good American? But we hired him as the president, and who's looking after these guys' background before we hire these guys and put these guys in uniforms and put them in high positions? Because it's gonna what it's doing is we don't even know who we got in uniforms. We might got a Nazi as a policeman, and we got him in a black neighborhood. How are we gonna make that right? You know, so I think we got to go back into training, but the trainers have to be trained, and we got to look a little deeper into people's background when we put them in these high positions.
Cheryl, as you heard Andre talk about, that, you know, some of these people have agendas, and no training is going to rid their agenda because they're bent and determined to be macho and to seek to use an opportunity to fire their weapon.
You're right. Well, when I mentioned training, you know, I think about when any job I'm on, as new things come about, we have to go to training, and we hear about it all the time. So we implementing new things. And I also mentioned being evaluated because of the things that go on in people's lives, knowing what is on their social media. Because it does, it tells a lot. Whereas it can cover up what a person says, but it also can help, you know, someone who is doing an overall evaluation to be able to see things that we may not be able to see, or we, you know, just may overlook. So somebody that is professional in that field. So it's not just one thing, I think. And the reason why I say this is because of what's happening today. You know, we look at a lot of these officers once they do something, and we look into their back on their social media. They've given clues all the while. And we have some officers that have been reprimanded and still put out on the street. And then when something happens, we say, well, they may have been suspended or they did this before. There's things that lead up to it. So to me, it's that heaven is stiffer because there's lives at stake now. You know, we're not talking about nothing, you know, simple. Because how much training goes into a person that's working at a machine shop as a machinist because of being safety. So there's a lot of different things that come up that now needs to be implemented that more of your senior officers have mastered over the years, and they know a little bit more than the ones that are hired on today. And I just think that, you know, we're not looking into their background enough, and they too, and I don't know, I won't say young, but inexperienced to be out there, you know, in the streets handling certain things. When do you call for backup? Now, I know I've seen one person get stopped out here, and you got five police officers just for traffic or violation or something. And in this case, would you not at some point have called for backup, you know, when the altercation was going on between, you know, at what point? And I mean, I know that we all are grasping at things to try to see about making things better and, you know, and may not even know what the answer is. But we do know that something needs to be done because it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And we are not learning from the one incident to another. It seems like it's escalating from one incident to the next incident. So I guess that, you know, that's what I was saying, just not one thing, a multitude, you know, of things.
All right, we're going to go to our break, and then we're going to come back and have allow everybody to have their final say.
We're gonna make it.
Media Network. Cassie, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
Yes, I just want to say I'm happy to hear Joyce and Audrey back on the line, and it's just been a wonderful end of September, James. The show is going to other heights, and you're bringing in new ideas and things, and I am grateful to be a part of that, but I still go back to 2 Corinthians 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, then they will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Our land needs to be healed, and it's not going to be healed until we go forth into prayer seeking the face of the Lord. Thank you, and God bless.
Amen. Audrey Jones, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
I agree with the young lady that just quoted the scripture. We do need a lot of prayer, you know, here. And then we need to pray for our leader, even though he's an idiot and creates a lot of the havoc that goes on. I won't say created, I will say promoted, you know, with Korea in all the things that's going on in the nation. Now, if he doesn't be real careful, he's not going to have to go across the water to war. He's already created his own little Korea right here. And he needs to try to help, you know, bring our nation together before you go over there and try to fix somebody else's. And
that's
those
so
are
right.
My thoughts.
All right. Joyce, your final thought for this evening? Joyce? Oh, I'm sorry, Audrey.
You unmuted Audrey, James, and I would just like to concur with all the ones in front of me with their response. And, again, let us make sure that we take action also and all that we do. Audrey, welcome
right.
back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Joyce sent me the numbers to the House of Representatives and to the senators. The numbers to the House of Representatives is 202-224-3121. The number to your senators is 855-971-2021. Let me say those again. The number to the representatives and you is after you call is 202 877-224-3121. And for the senators, it is 855-971-2021. Cheryl, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
As usual, very, very good topic. Enjoyed listening to everyone's point of view, because it always allows us to think things that we may not have thought about before, and pretty much agree with everyone who went before me and their final thoughts. Good evening, everybody.
Guys, I just want to say to you that we cannot let up. We have to keep doing whatever it is that we need to do to keep growing, keep having a voice, because things are not going to get better if we don't stay on top of it. If police officers believe they can get away with this kind of stuff, there's some sick police officers out there that are going to do it. And we don't demand these people be fired when they do things that are inappropriate, then we're going to get what it is we get. And so we have to put a voice to the things that are going on in our society so that we can make sure that we can make a difference. We should recognize now, because like Audrey said, enough of us didn't go to the polls, enough of us didn't take Donald Trump seriously, so now we got to live with him for 4 years, hopefully not 8 years, but for just four. Hopefully, if he's done something that he deserves to get impeached, we'll get rid of him earlier. But we cannot afford to have these ill-equipped people in office. I don't care if they're chief of police. I don't care if they're the mayor. I don't care what office they're holding. We need to raise a fuss when they're doing things that are inappropriate, are putting our lives in danger. And there's nobody who is an elected official or sworn employee that puts our lives in more danger than police officers. So we certainly need to pay attention to what they're doing or not doing when it comes to dealing with us as citizens. We deserve to be treated fairly and right. And that is just not happening right now. So I want to thank all of you. I want you to know that we're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear.
freedom, but you can't seem to make up your mind. I think you better close it. Let me guide you.